Since the end of World War II, we had a developed telephone system, wired. And this was the basis of all of our communication, home telephone, which was, in America, fantastic compared to the rest of the world. You were a shining light. And I believe the shining light deserved the credit to Bell Labs, AT&T, the telephone companies that were part of AT&T before divestiture. All of that caused us to have a telephone system that was beyond reproach. It was really a great system. We were connected to the rest of the world after a while by satellite or undersea cable. Satellite never sounded good, still doesn't sound good. Undersea cable without the delay, of course, sounds a hell of a lot better. As time progressed, the biggest change was the fax, of course, but forgetting something like the fax, let's stick to telephone, was the cellular system. And while there were always walkie-talkies and there were always different types of wireless systems used by the military and commercial, these were not available to the masses. Now, in the 60s and 70s, particularly in the 70s, you started to see a tremendous change in communications. 20 years since the end of the Second World War. But it was at that period that you saw AMPS, or analog FM, cellular communications take hold. And that, too, was due to AT&T and Motorola. And that was a great system. Even though the voice sounded terrible, even though you got cut off, most of the calls, it took me like 4 calls to complete one, and I'm driving along in my car. The most beautiful thing was that I could drive along in my car and talk to people, take care of my business calls at a fair and reasonable price. People from around the world started to get involved in this, and they got involved in this because most of the world, did not have a really good wired telephone system. After that, you saw more changes take place. You saw digital, which is what came to be known as second generation. Mm-hmm. And second generation had to do with time division multiple access, TDMA, and Qualcomm's narrowband CDMA. Now, most of the world went with the TDMA, and that received an awful lot of attention and an awful lot of sales throughout the world. And I think it constituted something like 90% of second generation sales, or even more, with Qualcomm getting maybe 5 or 10% of second generation sales. The TDMA, again, sounded no better than the AMPS, but you could get 3 calls for every one. And so it allowed the cellular provider to make a little bit more money. The same thing was true with the Qualcomm system. And the Qualcomm system to date is first reaching mature status. And even now, it doesn't work all that well in my estimation. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that it did start and it did do this. Now, in 1990, PCS began, and I won't talk about my involvement, I just want to talk about the evolution. But they started PCS, Personal Communication Systems. And the idea of PCS, Personal Communication Systems, was to give a better quality of voice and higher data rates than the regular analog or basic digital. And it was at a different frequency band, 1990 to 2000, in that band, above the military band, below the microwave band, you were able to get some frequencies. And there again, CDMA and TDMA, and by TDMA I mean not only the American version of TDMA, but also the European version, which is typically called GSM. Now, all they did was they took the GSM and they took the narrowband CDMA and they raise it to a new frequency band. Nothing else. In the United States, we auctioned off those frequencies. You'll remember that. You'll also remember that most of those companies that bought them have gone Chapter 11 or some such thing. One that comes to mind is Nextwave, which I think you'll have to check to find the exact status, but I think they had to sell it off to another company they were close to bankruptcy, or they were in bankruptcy. I don't know the exact status. But those hard lots came to everyone. But now, PCS is starting to take a hold, and they're starting to compete with the 900 megahertz band communication systems. The next thing that happened was the use of 3G, and that's where the future is. And 3G is supposed to give you better quality voice, higher data rates. And by the way, PCS never achieved those goals. It gave you the same quality voice, the same data rate, different frequency band to its competitors. It tried to give more features like call forwarding, etc. But basically the same thing.
What do you mean 3G?
3G is supposed to give you third generation. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to give you better quality voice, higher data rates up to 2 megabits per second. And internet access via packet switching. If this comes to pass, I think this will be another great step forward in communications. I'd also like to point out that on the route going this way, the FCC set aside some bands called the ISM bands, industrial scientific medical bands, 902 to 928, 24, 100 to 2483, 2403 to 2483, 5700 and something to 5800 and something. And in these bands, they were originally set aside to be only for spread spectrum use, to encourage the use of spread spectrum. Now, I mentioned that last, even though it came in the middle of all this, because it wasn't a commercial system as such. They were experimental bands. But a lot of companies took use of this band to develop spread spectrum equipment and to sell it on the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And so it really aided tremendously in the development of CDMA and the application of CDMA for LANs and things of that sort. So I think if you look at that, that represents the status of wireless communication. I left out the satellite stuff because the satellite stuff may have started in the early 90s or late 80s, these LEOs, low Earth orbit satellite systems, but none of them really worked. Hmm. The first one to come out, Iridium, just went Chapter 11.
I didn't know that.
Yes, absolutely. That I have no question about. It was in the Wall Street Journal.
Wasn't that a Motorola?
Bankruptcy. That was funded by Motorola. I believe that Motorola, personal opinion, Motorola screwed up terribly in thinking that this was a marketplace. You see, the satellite has to come at such a large distance down, even when they're LEOs, and you can't go back up. And in order to have communication with a LEO, you have to have communication direct. In other words, you have to see the satellite, quote unquote, see. To see the satellite in New York, you need a hell of a lot of satellites. I mean, you don't even see the sun, or you see reflections as it bounces down. So, yes, it's true. In places like the desert, on the ocean, in places where there are no people, you can see the satellite. You can't get too many subscribers in those places. Simply, there are no people, so how do you get subscribers? That's where the satellite works well. So the satellite works well where there are no people, and it works terribly where there are people. And therefore, it's a terrible system. They'll have to change it, and my feeling is the change will be that they'll come down to a cell or base station on buildings. Mm-hmm. So I'll communicate to that base station on top of a building, which will then go to the LEO and then go to wherever I want it to go. So if you think about it that way, you say, well, why do I want to do that? I can either go by satellite to keep it all wireless, or I can go with a regular telephone system. Or with microwave. And so it's just another option that people have. And so it may be good, may be bad, but I think that's the way business will have to be structured. And the Iridium system tried not to structure the business that way. Mm-hmm. And it just went down the tubes. Tremendous expenditure of money by Motorola and others that chipped into this faux pas. But that's how I see the wireless branch of communications going. And I think wireless is really the important branch today, and I think it's proven itself to be important, mm-hmm. and to be the most important.